Homesickness has one cure. The cure is to get back home. You cannot find permanent relief in faraway places. The Bible doesn't accuse this lad as some preachers have accused him. They allege that he was insolent, profligate, a heartbreak at home. The Bible doesn't say so. The Bible doesn't intimate that he was a worry to his father or that he wrote lines into his mother's forehead. If the lad had been all of that and Dad settled half of the family fortune on him, then Dad was more of a fool than the son. From the story itself, it appears that Dad had a great deal of confidence in this younger son. The boy wasn't the heir since he was not the eldest. But immediately upon request, Dad divided unto them his living. Dad must have felt that this son had talent and desire to make good. Until that moment, it appears that the lad was praiseworthy, upright, industrious, worthy of trust. He was as curious about the outside world as Columbus, our astronauts, Henry Ford, Galileo, have been curious, and there's nothing wrong about that. And I'll tell you something. The lad never really lost his love or his respect for his father at any time. They were always there through loneliness, famine, and disillusionment. No. It's wrong to jump on this boy and beat and kick him. He made mistakes. They were nearly fatal mistakes. They cost heavily. The lad lost his way, but so have multitudes of smart people. The boy discovered vultures. They can pick an innocent clean. The world outside is exciting, girl, but it is a maze of turns and a jungle of threat. It's a wicked world that devours quickly that portion of goods that you bring from a good home. The lad got trapped. He thought seducers were saints. He thought the farther he plunged, the greater hero he was. He was easily convinced there was a get-rich-quick magic. He had never experienced want at home. He thought his substance would last forever. It was a new experience for him, and a devastating experience. It cost him everything. Self-respect, inventory, peace of mind, faith in people, everything but his life. It's a story that repeats. And that's why it's in the Bible. The young are always confident that they can play the game smarter than the previous generation. I've gone through the same metamorphosis. I know now 90% less than I did at 18. I knew most of the answers before I was 20. I wanted to get away from home, out into that world, and change it with the same plea this fellow made. Give me a chance. The world changed me about as quickly. It doesn't take long to spend. It's a quick pace. One drink calls for another. One hand of cards anchors you to the game. A few late hours call for more late hours, and you're caught. The story is the same wherever and whenever you read it. I have wished before God in these many years of ministry, looking into faces which tell stories of moral, mental, and physical bankruptcy, that these human beings might have said after that first night of adventure, "This is my first night away from things which count, and with God's help it shall be my last." But night follows night. Debt begets debt. Good money is thrown after bad. Clamor increases. Lies pound into the brain, and a person drifts until you perish with hunger and the homesickness becomes unbearable. It's awful what becomes of your Sundays. That should be a warning. Sunday is the best home day of all. It's when the family is close. Sunday school, a touch of heaven, songs that reach the heart, a sense of well-being, the word, the company of brothers and sisters. It's different out there, fellow. Lounging and wasting hours, a digit in some mad whirl in some carnivorous stadium, watching physical combat, a stale sense of yesterday's troubles with mounds of Sunday papers scattered over floor and furnishing, cocktail glasses with rings and fumes, cigarette butts, unmade beds, unloved children yelling in and out of the house. Sin will build a desert for you. Now there's the tantalizing bait that a little farther along, and it will be better, that play another hand and you'll recoup your losses, that fun-loving companions must be sincere and committed to your success. And you get in deeper and deeper. And you wish you were back, but you're too ashamed to turn around. Now you're out to prove something, and you will, fella. You will prove that the far country isn't what it is advertised to be. The booze ads don't advertise the hangover. The pharmaceuticals don't advertise the habit. Tobacco doesn't advertise the cough. But you'll find them, and they'll drain you until you have spent all. It's hard to take advice. That comes later in life. Everyone is gung-ho to find shortcuts. Who needs it? I can pay my own way. I can hold my own in any company. The path is a rut, caked hard by many generations. It leads directly toward and through the far country into the pig pen. It happened to Lot, Abraham's nephew. He came back with just the clothes on his back. And it happened to Samson. He made it home with one last tug, blind and the object of a bleacher full of catcalls. There are more famines than the unfortunate masses of the Far East experience. There's a famine of feeling. You get so numb emotionally that you number yourself among the living dead. There's a famine of spirit. The preacher Eli knew what that was. He told a 12-year-old boy, God used to speak to me, son. He doesn't any longer. And you starve. It's the worst kind of slow death. You are responsible for that portion of goods that has been turned over to you that falleth to me. You have had your mother's prayers. You've had the Bible teaching you were given. You've had the examples of godly people. You were given a great start. And that is what makes your problem a tragedy, that you've taken so much and accomplished so little. There's that moment when you're stunned. When you conclude you don't have a thing left, it's a grisly moment. I haven't one friend. I can't draw one sober breath. I can't think a single clean thought. There isn't another untroubled night's sleep. I'm stripped. You look at the wreckage and you say it's all gone. You don't feel brave. You don't feel intelligent. You face it. I've squandered everything. I'll always believe the lowest moment in this lad's life came when, as a young Israeli, he was sent to feed swine, to blaspheme his God. It's bad enough for hell to ruin you, but hell will mock you, mister. You'll join yourself to things that are wrong. You'll sell your soul, and he would fain have filled his belly. You'll make deals with those you despise. The gnawing of an appetite gained in a far country is bigger than your sense of decency. It made a cheap informer out of the apostle Judas. It made a couple of loathsome liars out of Ananias and Sapphira. And you will feed and grovel on the lowest offerings in the community. You've lost command. You're compelled. And he sent him into his fields. If you thought it was stifling at home, think now how servile you have become. You haven't a shred of dignity left. So many times humanity has reached that point. But the lad never forgot his father in his home. Neither famine nor hogs could erase them from his mind. And always there was this homesickness. Always thoughts of a better life. Thank God for the wonderful moment when you get your eyes opened, when you realize how false the whole journey has been. Hell doesn't like it, but hell can't stop the message. In my Father's house, there is bread enough and to spare. There aren't enough devils on this side of damnation to erase that glorious message. Satan has pushed you too far. Perish with hunger. It's no longer sweet temptation. It's misery. The moment the lad said, "I will arise and go," the miles disappeared between himself and reconciliation. The distance melted away. It's only a step from where you are to the grace of God. Sure, there's an audience. You're heading back. The same folk are there who welcomed you toward the far country and helped themselves to your goods. These vendors of smut and glut will call you dirty and ragged. They'll suggest that you be quarantined to the Bowery, limited to where your helplessness can be contained, where you won't spoil business and upset folk engaged in riotous living. Head right through them, lad. You are the expert now. Hell hasn't a thing to teach you. You have learned by personal experience, and suddenly you'll see help heading your way along that boulevard. Lots of righteous people think that Jesus shouldn't frequent the main street. But when he was yet afar, a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, count on it, 1 foot in the aisle, heading toward the altar, and you will find company leading you home. Your homesickness is your passport. Gives you the right to turn around. It won't fail you any more than the call of the geese from the Arctic Circle southward when winter comes. And it doesn't take long to settle accounts. You can get right with God in 10 seconds. I will say, "Father, I've sinned." That's all it takes, sir. You can't make yourself fit, but he can. He furnishes it all, the robe, the ring, the shoes, the supper. So many of you are homesick. And why not? Nothing makes a lad more homesick than to find himself a ruined man, dissipated, godless, broke, a moral disaster. But mister, before you give up, give in. Jesus will help each as you invite him. The long, long altar is the trysting place. It's his pleasure to transact the business of the kingdom with us, his partners. So come quickly and confidently in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
Mrs. Paula Mendenhall, Midwest City, Oklahoma, came recently in distress. Her 20-year-old son was the victim of drugs. It was heartbreaking. But the gospel is good news. So Mrs. Mendenhall reports, "Brother Ward, God intervened in an authoritative way. Our son has been saved, filled with the Spirit, and we are rejoicing in our Lord's ministry to us." Udell McQueen knelt as the long, long altar touched Nassau in the Bahamas, West Indies. She says, "My legs were swollen. I was shivering, though the temperature was 95 degrees. My family was disturbed. I was not in a condition to afford extensive medical care. So when Brother Ward gathered us to the long, long altar, I came as best I could. And I talked to Jesus as best I could. And then immediately fell into a long, healing sleep. And I know by what he has done for me that Jesus lives. And now we'll wait upon the Lord. His will shall be done in earth as it is done in heaven. Master, we are thy disciples. We are thy family. Thou art our source. We praise thee for redemption manifest at every bend of the long, long altar. We rejoice in thy miracles of deliverance and provision. We would offer ourselves to thee for thy right to establish in us irrefutable testimony that thy word is confirmed by signs following. Teach us how to glorify thee as thou dost glorify the Father. We want all that is said and done to honor thee. Amen." We'll move softly, carefully in his presence. None of us must ever be guilty of hindering anyone's victory by doubting our Lord. or through lack of compassion for our brothers and sisters, heaven constantly makes decisions. Members of his body are alert to these decisions. Jesus has come to help a discouraged evangelist among us. He has not witnessed the results his heart hungers to see. For some time, meetings seem to be routine. You work hard, you keep a schedule of study and prayer, but you long for a New Testament breakthrough. Now the time has come. You will enter meetings which will soon seem to be heaven upon earth. A community will be stirred, altars will be filled, and a mighty move of the Spirit will accompany your service to Jesus. God is speaking to your heart through this provision of discernment, and I'm most happy for you. Be sure to give God all the glory, evangelist. This is the meeting. We aren't a program, or are we building anything to the glory or name of man? The Holy Spirit gathers us in this circle of blessing. Our purpose is to further the Lord's work through yielded lives. The meeting is a shadow of the meeting in the air long announced, and the same Holy Spirit will call us to order then, because it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.